Good evening. Welcome to the Salieri Report. Today is April 21st, 2016. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Events. I'm going to see some of you in New York, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday following April 30th. I just talked to Richard Dolan, and he's been working away on his book on false flags. He's going to be talking about false flags, and then, of course, we're going to have the same roundtable discussion we did with your questions last year. It's going to be 12 to 4. We have a few tickets left. It's an unbelievable group that's coming. I don't want to embarrass everybody by saying too much, but you definitely, if you're in the area and available, it's going to be a great event. So come on in if you can. Then Sunday brunch in Sydney on May 15th, we'll be emailing the Australian subscribers directly. And that's just going to be a la carte. So make sure you RSVP so we know you're coming. We want to make sure we have enough seats. Okay, our theme tonight is the genie coming out of the bottle. It's very important that we have, that I really want you to recognize that we have an opening in the field between now and the inauguration. It's probably going to be stronger now in September, and another little kind of lockdown on November after the election, and then really after the inauguration, particularly once the teams get in place into the intelligence enforcement bureaucracies. And of course, it depends on who gets elected. But we have an opening now. If you look at the establishment, they're not feeling like pushing back as hard on many issues. And so you're seeing cracks in the dam that really have momentum. And I want to talk, it's happening on a number of fronts. It's happening with vaccines very strongly. It's happening with privacy and the iPhone issue, to a lesser extent, Common Core. But I want to use vaccines and the iPhone as an example. And I've always said for many years that the place that we'll get breakthroughs on the official reality, and we really push a crack in the official reality dam, is in the places that affect the health and well-being of our children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews. The big losses have always come. I've always used as an example homeschooling or the swine flu vaccination. The big losses that the pro-centralization team experience usually come down to issues where people are willing to fight and draw the line on the health and well-being of our children. But let's look at what has happened in vaccines. We're seeing more and more prominent people say things that are really pushing that crack in the, and I keep using this expression, the crack. It's from one of my favorite quotes from Leonard Cohen. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets through. Putin said several months ago, quote, "We as a species have the choice to continue to develop our bodies and brains in a healthy upward trajectory, or we can follow the Western example of recent decades and intentionally poison our population with genetically altered food, pharmaceuticals, vaccinations, and fast food that should be classified as a dangerous addictive drug. We must fight this. A physically and intellectually disabled population is not in our interest," the report states. It also states Putin describing Western culture as, quote, "intensively vaccinated, borderline autistic fat man slumped in front of a screen battling a high fructose corn syrup come down," quote. And so Putin was one of the ones who opened the first crack. But of course, then we had Trump in the debates. Let me just quote from one description of one of the early debates. "In one of the stranger moments in CNN's Wednesday night Republican debate, moderator Jack Tapper pitted Donald Trump, who is most definitely not a doctor, against retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson on the subject of vaccines. Do they cause autism or not? The answer, as Carson explained, is absolutely not. But Trump had its right of reply. Quote, "Autism has become an epidemic. 25 years ago, 35 years ago, you looked at the statistics, not even close. It has gotten totally out of control," Trump said. "I am totally in favor of vaccines, but I want smaller doses over a longer period of time. Same exact amount, but you take this little beautiful baby and you pump. I mean, it looks like you, like it's meant for a horse, not for a child. And we've had so many instances, people that work for me," he added just the other day, 2 years old, 2.5 years old. "A child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back a week later, got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic." Trump did not elaborate on whose child he was talking about. But then we go to the spiking of Vaxxed, a new documentary about the CDC whistleblower who came out and said, "Yes, we've destroyed evidence and we've cooked the science." And And it's pretty frightening if you look at the sort of how it relates to issues of truly toxic vaccines and that are really harming kids. And as a result, Robert De Niro has gotten on the television and come out of the closet about the fact that one of his children, he has an autistic child, and talking about the importance of watching documentaries like Vaccines and that there really is a problem between toxic vaccines and autism. That's a big, big punch through the official reality. And then today, from John Rappaport, we're informed that Bob Wright, the former CEO of NBCUniversal, is authoring a new book, The Right Stuff from NBC to Autism, where he basically said that toxic vaccines cause the autism of his grandchild. So we now have a real push started. And what's interesting is that if you look at how it's reverberating around the community of people who are dealing with autistic children, and it's growing very rapidly if you look at the statistics. This is a conversation that needs to happen. And it's if you Andrew Wakefield just did an interview. Andrew Wakefield is a doctor who was very much involved in the making of Vaxxed. And I've talked about Andrew Wakefield before in this Salary Report. If he just did an interview and he said, look, if you look at the statistics, within a certain period of time, the whole population's going to be autistic if we keep this up. And so I think this is incredibly important for the history of the human or the future of the human race. So I, for one, would love to see some real punch through on vaccines. I don't, for those of you who are new subscribers may not know, during the swine flu vaccine effort to mandate the swine flu vaccine, I published an article saying, in my opinion, it was depopulation and it was intentional, which I took a lot of tomatoes for that one, but I'm very glad I did because I think there were a lot of people who came out early and hard against that mandated vaccine. I think it was a very good thing to do, and I think it got it stopped. Okay, the second example, other than vaccines, there was a news story on 60 Minutes called Hacking Your Phone, where a 60-minute reporter basically signed up two teams of hackers, one in Germany, one in the United States, and had them hack her phone, a congressman's phone, and basically go on camera and explain how easy it was to hack every phone, including watching you through a phone camera, even when the phone is off. And it was very interesting because I was talking to one of our team members here at the Salary Report, and this is someone who has been reading all of our stuff and talking with me for many years. And on various occasions on the Salary Report or in conversation with this person, I've explained that that's true, that any of the smartphones are hackable and they can see you through your camera. We had a great movie on Let's Go to the Movies called The Listening, which describes all of that, and it's an 80s technology. So I said to this team member, well, I've told you that many, many times. And they were very quiet and said, I didn't believe you. Said, well, I guess now that it's on CBS, you do. The best quote from the CBS story was, we cannot trust the technology we use. And I have to tell you, the most frustrating thing in my work is the fact that I have to depend on phones and computers and an internet and all sorts of systems which are absolutely unreliable and really don't perform to a professional level. And an industry that's very sort of couldn't care less. I mean, it's almost like their business is providing surveillance access as opposed to good service or good or high quality products. So you're right, we can't trust the technology we use, and the notion that we're going to convert everything to the Internet of Things and that's going to work is ridiculous. It's going to turn everything into a battle zone. Okay, so we have an opening between now and the inauguration, and I say whatever your issue is, particularly if an issue has momentum, now's a chance to contribute to punching through, so have at it. Money and markets. Wall Street earnings are down. Goldman led this week with a big drop, 40% drop in earnings compared to the same quarter, first quarter in 2015. The big six banks reported $97 billion of revenues. That's down $10 billion from the first quarter. Here's the reality. The economy cannot afford for the banks to have that big of a pie. There's way too much financialization and speculation. And the corruption and the financial fraud has contributed significantly to productivity flatlining. So, you know, we've reached a point where what is good for Goldman Sachs is definitely bad for America. I'm not saying everything they do is bad for America, but we've got a negative return on investment economy. And it's contributing to flatlining productivity. And we need to find a way out of it. I talk constantly about the relationship between the Popsicle Index and the S&P Index. If you look at too much of S&P earnings is coming from things that don't relate to market. I talked in some of the last Solari reports about the great article in The Economist about the fact that U.S. corporations are deriving way too much earnings from sort of things that are non-market related. And but if you look at earnings, S&P earnings forecasts are way down. There are a couple of good pieces up on the website this week. There are significant drops by more than 50% on projected earnings from the highs in 2014. So how the market can keep levitating given what their earnings forecasts are, that's a very big question. But I think if earnings are going to ever get back on track, you need to realign the Popsicle Index and the S&P Index. You need them to have a positive relationship. People and business need to be have a win-win relationship. Right now it's win-lose, and with productivity in the can, I think we need change. Deflation always inspires what I call the Midianite thing. The Midianite thing is my expression referring to the story of the Midianites and the judges where the bad guys jump up and kill each other. And if you're interested in seeing the original story, you can go read Judges chapters 6 through 8 in the Old Testament. But anyway, when deflation gets going and the cash flows shrink, then you have people who start fighting over the pie, and you get a lot of sort of different factions fighting. And I think that's part of what explains what started to happen with the Panama Papers. I talked about the Panama Papers the last couple of weeks, so, and wrote a commentary. You can see it on the website. What's interesting, though, is this real storm had gotten going about the Panama Papers, and all of a sudden, not this Monday, the prior Monday, Yellen meets with Obama. The Department of Justice concerts control of documents, announcing a criminal investigation, which is essentially what it does. It puts a big sort of freeze and kibosh and control on it. And then suddenly the markets juice up. We have Yellen meeting with the G20. And anyway, markets juice up and suddenly fighting stops, all goes quiet. In fact, I read, sat down this week and read 5 days straight of Wall Street Journal and could only find one story worth putting on the website or talking to you about. It was the most silent period I'd ever seen. And you really see an effort to put a kibosh on the fighting and whatever the fighting was really about. The story that I wanted to mention to you was a new story or two stories in the Wall Street Journal on Theranos, the Silicon Valley startup that's doing blood testing, sort of going outside the doctors. And we now have a criminal investigation from the Department of Justice and the possible a threat to request the recusal of the founder and the president from the lab business for 2 years. If you look at what's going on, it could destroy the company or certainly significantly reduce its value. And it's a very baffling situation because you have on the board very significant clout and Bushies. You've got George Shultz, former Secretary of State and former board member at Dillon Reed and Company, where I used to work. You've got one of the Bechtels, Black Budget Central. You've got Bill Frist. It's a major black budget group. And so when you look at that group, they've also taken it on the chin with the failure of the Jeb Bush campaign. So whether it's the Bush campaign failing or basically the Department of Justice targeting this company, which was rumored to be valued in the many billions of dollars before this started, you wonder what's the real story. What is the real story behind Theranos? What's really going on there? And why is it that the Bushies don't seem to command their normal air cover? So there's a huge story here, but I have no idea yet what it is, and I'm going to continue to dig. If you see anything on it, keep sending it to me, because this is one I would love to figure out what those guys are really up to. But there is a, talk about a fight. It's a fight potentially as mean as the Panama Papers. Sovereign Man wrote a very nice email today. They pointed out the story of a very wealthy person who had used lots of tax dodges and then taken his entire fortune and given away for good works. And he pointed out paying taxes is not all that great, because if he'd paid taxes, it would have just gone to finance the war in Iraq and more financial repression. So very good point from Sovereign Man. The traditional spin on taxes isn't working. And that's because if you look at government spending or credit on investment, again, it has a negative return on investment. It's being used to engineer centralized control in a way that's hurting productivity and hurting the economy. So the traditional spins aren't working. So talk about an untraditional action. The Michigan Attorney General has now brought criminal charges against two Michigan environmental engineers and a Flint water supervisor. They're being hit with felonies for misleading federal investigators and tampering with evidence. Notice they didn't bring criminal charges on the politicians who cut off all their money. So now here's why this is interesting. All across society, we have bureaucracies being ordered to do unethical or illegal things. So we have CDC scientists spiking data and fixing data. We've got all sorts of junk science going through the FDA. We have all the games on GMOs at FDA, as well as the banks doing financial fraud. Now, if the bureaucracies who are doing all of these things for the pro-centralization team are suddenly going to get hit with criminal charges for basically rigging all these things, it's going to turn it into a very different kind of game. And you're going to start to see refusals to do these kind of things, and that's a very good sign. So I'm surprised to see the Michigan Attorney General do this. I think the outrage has forced them into it, but it's going to send chills throughout municipal officials all over the country and make the pushback even more interesting. Very important story that didn't get a lot of attention. I posted it up on the website. Indications that the Dutch army may be merging into the German army to begin to create a real army behind the euro. It makes a lot of sense to me. I think the Dutch, the Germans, and the sort of Northern Europeans have reason to get together and defend the euro if the EU starts to come apart. And of course, all eyes are on Brexit in June. Now, if the UK pulls out, the UK was not in the euro. They kept their own currency. And I think the big job for the Germans and the Netherlands and the real powerhouses, economic powerhouses in the euro is, it's one thing for the EU to fray. It's another thing for the euro to come apart. That's a much, much bigger mess. The U.S. presidential campaign continues to be interesting, coming through New York with Trump and Clinton winning. Every indication that there was a lot of games at the polls to keep various people who were Sanders voters from voting. Clearly, the Clinton network has got as good at the games as the Bushies. For all I know, that you know, the Bushies are helping them. What is interesting on the Trump side is you have a very clever engineering of the campaign manager out, and who comes in but Manafort of Black Manafort and Stone. I've told some Black Manafort Stones on the blog and on the Saleri Report before, but these are to think that one of the premier groups of people engineering campaigns for the Republicans for the last three decades is being presented as an anti-establishment team now with Manafort and Stone helping Trump. You really want to ask the question, who's zooming who? And so you wonder ultimately, you know, where the strings behind Manafort really go to, because somebody went to a lot of trouble to get the current guy demoted and Manafort moved in. And I suspect Roger Stone had a hand in it, but that's not where the strings stop. The Gallup polls show that Trump and Clinton have negatives that keep going higher. And there's a lot of gossip to indicate that the Democrats are trying to figure out how to engineer Biden or Bloomberg or someone else in there they seem to have lost a lot of confidence in Clinton. And of course, looming out there is what is the president going to do and the attorney general going to do when the FBI comes back? Indications from the FBI, they feel no obligation to come back one way or the other. Before the Democratic convention, so somebody plans to hold a hatchet over her head, looks like going into the full campaign. There was a Lockheed Martin press release that I wanted to bring to your attention. Lockheed Martin, for many years, has been the leading U.S. government contractor, but also the leading defense contractor. And they put out a press release called Welcome to Generation Beyond. And it's all designed to appeal to young people, particularly grade and high school, and give enormous and powerful incentives to the young people to build 3.0 globally. It's all about going into space and building colonies on Mars. And watch, talented young people are all going to feel that things are getting much better and they're going to be shown a world of full opportunity. And then finally, China has announced their yuan gold fix, talking about globalization proceeding forward. And I think it's going to be worth watching how it goes. It's one of many things they're doing to really strengthen and promote their currency globally. Okay, let's look at how the market did. The US dollar is still down about 4.22% for the year. Not a lot of change since last week, or the last 2 weeks, really. Bonds backed off a tad, so the aggregate bond is now up 3% for the year. TLT's dropped back down a little bit. That's the long Treasury ETF. It's up a little over 7.25%. The stock market just continues to surprise. The S&P now up 3%. The DAX in euros down 2.86%. But if you look at the Rambus interview tonight, you'll see that the world stock charts look very, very good. China is now down 2.3%, so they've recovered a lot. The developed markets up 1.35%, and it's still strongest for the year. Emerging markets ETF up 8%. Commodities have really come back. The CRB is up to a little bit more than 2%. Oil now down negative 8%. It's really negative 8.83, so almost 9%. That's a big recovery from the worst part of 2016. Silver still looking good. Gold's now up 17.7% for the year. Silver up 22.9%. And I'm still a skeptic on everything. Our hero this week is Prince. Unfortunately, it was announced that Prince died today. He was an American singer, a songwriter, an actor, but somebody phenomenally successful. He sold over 100 million records worldwide. That puts him in the top list of best-selling artists of all time. As I pointed out in the annual wrap-up, if you look at the African American artists in the best-selling artists of all time, there's a very uncomfortable trend of them all dying young. And of course, when they die, big, big bump in record sales to the record companies that have the content. So it's a pattern that makes me extremely uncomfortable. Our blogmaster put up the video of Prince talking on one of the talk shows where he talks about chemtrails. He was a man who was fearless in terms of talking about what was wrong on planet Earth, and but really remarkable guy. The other person I want to, or the other group I want to note in the hero section is the Hamilton devotees. There's been an effort to swap Alexander Hamilton off of the $10 bill to make room for a hero who's a woman. And it was going to be swapping Hamilton out for Susan B. Anthony, but apparently the Treasury did a survey and they got so much pushback, they've decided to keep Hamilton and swap Andrew Jackson out for Harriet Tubman. So look forward for a new $20 bill. And again, check out that video of Prince talking about chemtrails. It's a doozy. Okay, ask Catherine. We have a lot of questions, so I'm going to just tear through them. First of all, you all sent great links, and I posted a lot of them. So just keep them coming. Thank you very much. I mentioned, I'm going to mention again, I think I mentioned it last week or the week before, Donald, a Manhattan mini storage had a great ad up. Somebody sent us the picture, and we couldn't figure out how to get it up on the website. But it said, if Donald Trump really wants to keep all the aliens out, he might as well build a wall around the galaxy, too. Anyway, Manhattan mini storage sign in New York is really pretty amazing. Okay, dear Catherine, I heard you speak in Memphis, Tennessee. I work to stop smart meters and in the largest water, gas, and electric utility in the U.S. I have a formidable opponent. I'm finished with passing out brochures to the poor and middle income. That is not action. Is there a way to crowdfund to hire a group of attorneys or a couple of them? I know absolutely nothing about the computer end, but I guess I could find someone to help. It is time to speak to someone to find out how much it will cost. Going up against industry is a formidable opponent. However, we have all the facts, and now Lloyd's of London is no longer covering smart meter malfunction. Also, U.S. underwriters are not going to as well. That's not good. Okay, so that's a great idea to crowdfund and get attorneys. I agree with you. You're going to need attorneys and take hard legal action to get results. Or lobbyists to get results. Both, I think, are probably required, PR firms as well. So I would suggest you listen. We have a great Salieri report on crowdfunding and how to develop a successful campaign. And if you look at Kickstarter or some of the other crowdfunding firms, they also have great little videos on how to and instructions on how to develop a successful campaign. So check them out. If you get one launched, it doesn't take a lot to launch one. We'd be happy to publish and promote. I think what you do need to do is find lawyers and talk to them about what it would cost. But I think if you take a look at the Food to Farm or Farm to Food Alliance, Legal Alliance that the Weston Price Foundation put together, they put together a funding effort for lawyers for the same reason. And I think it's a great thing to do, and I'd be happy to promote it. One of the things you should note is that just about every week now we have a link in Top Picks, and we mark it with yellow for our latest donation or crowdfund. I try to support at least one gift or one crowdfund each week at Salieri, and usually we have a couple each month. So check those out on the website. Catherine, is there any truth to this article? And it goes on a bit, but the article is on the new U.S. Republic and the big global currency reset. I would consider the link you sent in the category of adult fairy tales. I did an interview with Dark Journalist. It's up on the website, or you can just pick it up and do Dark Journalist and Catherine Austin Fitz. It was called COINTELPRO and Adult Fairy Tales. You have a lot of this kind of disinformation on the internet. I would really send you to that interview because it describes it in much more detail. But basically, it draws on deeper themes that are true, and therefore the adult fairy tale resonates. And you just need to be very careful. So take a listen to that interview, and it was designed to help you. It was one of the least popular interviews I ever did because, of course, no one likes to hear that the thing that's really gotten their hopes up and given them a set prophetic picture of the future is an op. I will say this, the other thing that I'm very concerned about these days is what I call free thinker harvesting. There are a whole world of financial commentators who really are organized to exploit and harvest people who've left the establishment and said, you know, the system isn't trustworthy. And they very much encourage you to do things that, in fact, are more harmful than half of the things the establishment would encourage you to do. It's kind of a way of making money out of destroying your enemies. And so if you've had the guts to leave the establishment, they're looking for another way to pick you up and harvest you. And I think you have to be very discerning and careful about sort of the kind of information you can get coming to you on the internet everywhere, because corporate media is just as bad. I don't know what to tell you, but I think you've got to approach a lot of the information like this with a great deal of discernment. Catherine, I'm thinking more and more that this is all about survival. It seems beyond greed and lust for power. I think it's clear that both the intellect to comprehend and the investment in time to gather up the massive data on the subject of this second paradigm is extremely rare, so rare that it is ineffective at this minute level. Emotion and basic human drives guide the vast majority of the people of the world. That's time-consuming but temporally important to control as more time is needed. The tools of modern man have far outrun our wisdom. This is very problematic and highly dangerous. To compare the cycle to that of the Roman Empire is grossly antiquated. Absolute control by a few is a must to make this transition, thus the movement towards totalitarianism. A collapse is the only path with such an abrupt jolt to the current version of humans. A major reduction in population will ease the transition, that being both natural and imposed. The world cannot withstand the change from carbon to free energy, only us to more than us. Disease and death to complete cures, increasing conceptual polarization. These things are just too large to transition an existing society. Trading with the universe makes little sense to me at this point, as everything would be already available to them. Keep us from harming them, rescuing or guiding us seems more likely. Being subject to the basic laws of life forms and physics suggests any universal imbalances will become rebalanced, sometimes with great devastation. I think the scales we are experiencing more suggest the basic survival of the few from massive events as the driving force. A separating society makes sense. The complete rescaling of human relationships spells a society rebuilt to facilitate the survival of the few, on Earth or otherwise, as does the massive thefts and technological holdbacks. The present form of humans can no longer be sustained on multiple planes, and such an abrupt transition cannot be facilitated, nor would it be survivable. Free power, no decrease. The concept of profits through war and business, none of this is usable in the second Earth, even if Earth survives the coming physics. Leaving is the only solution. Staying is death at all levels. However, returning may be an option, ? And finally, as you and I both believe, the concepts of God come into play. Just some thoughts. Thank you so much for your work. Well, I think it is clear that part of what is happening is you're seeing a relatively small group of people within the leadership grab huge resources, suck them out of the general economy, and use them, among other things, to create, essentially a separate civilization, as I've said, including massive push to start colonies on Mars. I think nothing speaks more eloquently than the Lockheed press conference or all the hoopla that we've seen at the beginning of this year on encouraging everybody to get keenly interested in taking us into space. Now, here's the question. What do they know that I don't know? I have no idea. I do think that it is exceptionally dangerous to bet the future of the human race on one planet. So while I can't tell you what they're up to, I will tell you I absolutely support the idea that we all sacrifice to sort of build or pool the capital and resources we need to make sure we're a multiplanetary civilization. I think it's a very important and a terrific thing to do, and I have no problem facing the fact that not all of us can go to Mars. So I, for one, support whatever is going on in terms of an accelerated space program. And, and if that means a few of us make it versus no one makes it, well, I think that's great. I just don't think you bet the ranch on one planet. At the same time, I have no urge to go to Mars. I'm perfectly happy to stay here on Earth. And I don't think that what's going to happen on Earth is going to be determined by the leadership. I think we live in a world that is driven by spiritual powers, and it's exceptionally important to keep open a pathway that we're willing for things to work out here on Earth. And I believe they absolutely can. Now, maybe the leadership knows something I don't know, but you never know how things are going to turn out. Nature is, nature will always surprise, and again, spiritual powers will always survive. And if you look at the battle of good and evil, I think good is the more powerful force. So anyway, sounds like you were having a dark day, and the answer is, I don't know what the truth is, but one thing I will say, I absolutely think it is a terrific idea that we organize to ensure that our future includes human survival, even if this planet doesn't make it. So I think it's something we should absolutely all get behind. Dear Catherine, question on real estate. For example, say Puerto Rico, where they are broke, how would this affect property value and property taxes? It's very much specific on the particular place, but basically what you're likely to get are values going down and taxes going up. And the values are going down not just because the economy is hurting as a result of the financial problems, but you're bound to start seeing a breakdown in law and order in a variety of different ways in certain places. So I would say generally you're looking at values down, taxes up. Observation from the San Mateo coast. Daly City has been known for the seagull, yet for the last several years there's been an absence of seagulls. Regularly I would see dead gulls wash up on the beach. Now, however, I no longer see dead birds and there are flocks growing. See, Mother Nature is very powerful. Okay, this one is a long one, which I'm going to try and cut short. Hi, Catherine. I've been doing my research on the Panama Papers, and then they go into a long thing about how this is a factional fight with the Rothschilds trying to get greater control and an effort to sort of sweep money out of Switzerland and other areas with large pools of capital, including offshore, and get everybody to come into the United States, the U.S. becoming the biggest tax haven. Yes, I absolutely agree with that. And then they say, it would not surprise me in the least that now that most wealth funds are under U.S. jurisdiction, that the Rothschild family turn around in months, years, and screw their new account holders by permitting the U.S. government to initiate the legislated 2015 bail-in laws or others and overnight legally confiscate a large percentage of those wealth funds. No. I think you are really, they asked me if they were off track. Yes, I think you're off track in a major way. The reality is, I think what they're trying to build is Fortress America and sweep up a lot of capital. Here's what you need to understand. Confiscation is a very unproductive pathway in most instances. It shuts down market liquidity. As long as you control, all you want to do is to be able to channel the capital into the companies you want to channel it into. So you don't really care whose name is on the account as long as it's in your bank and you get to channel it where you want to. Now, also remember, if you look at bail-ins, they just go to the banks. They don't go to the big pools of capital and equity, which are huge compared to, you know, so the banks are relatively small compared to those pools of capital. And bail-ins even, you know, they don't touch those pools because they're not part of leveraged institutions. For the most part. Anyway, so channeling is a much more successful method. Again, bail-ins don't confiscate wealth plans. They confiscate bank shareholder and bondholder money, and some or all of the uninsured depositors. So the game that they're trying to create is Fortress America, and the goal is financial control and repression so that you can aggregate and channel capital centrally. There's no need for confiscation. Again, confiscation is a you know, remember, we're in a system that prefers free-range totalitarianism. Someone sent a really sweet video of a Tennessee grocery company doing something about that really honored the young men and women who had served in the American military. And it's a YouTube video that's gone viral, or it's an ad that's been turned into a YouTube video that's gone viral. I wanted to point out when seeing it that the U.S. military is probably building back up to a draft. The volunteer army is too expensive, and so at some point they're going to need to do a draft. So you need to consider what that means to the young people in your family and business. Just be prepared for a draft to go into effect after the election. It'll probably take a year or two after the election, but figure by 2020, there's a good chance we may see a new draft. Someone sent a wonderful warning about AT&T trying to kill the landline network in California. Ugh, what a terrible thing. So I've sent that into the website, and anything we could do to help, that would be great. What a terrible thing to do to California. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for your excellent analysis of the Panama Papers. Can you give us your opinion as to what Mr. Global's next move is now that resistance has been virtually eliminated? I don't think resistance has been virtually eliminated at all. But there's no doubt Mr. Global is now in the process of getting ready to re-engineer the existing establishments. So expect a lot of the mini-night kind of thing. And also expect, as I mentioned with the Lockheed Martin press release called Welcome to Generation Beyond, everybody's going to be throwing very enormous and powerful incentives to the young people who they want to help them build 3.0. So while they're shafting everybody in 2.0, the young people swarming into 3.0 are going to think the world is wonderful and full of opportunity, because for them it is. And then somebody sent me some more links on the Panama Papers and said, not terribly shocking. It was a Swiss banker claiming that the CIA was behind it. Very probable. Hello, Catherine. I'm a recent subscriber after having heard a number of outstanding interviews you have had online. Prior to subscribing your service, I looked on the internet to find information about the ZKB ETFs. Those are Swiss ETFs that have allocated gold behind them, where you can swap the shares for gold. I found your reporting dating back a few years. I wonder if you're still of the same opinion as you were about this ETF. Is the bullion underlying the ETF allocated or unallocated? I believe it's allocated. As far as I know, it's claimed to be fully backed by bullion 1-to-1, and ZKB as a bank does not engage in derivatives. So the implication is this one is protected from the fractional treatment gold gets in the GLD as well. I think the ZKB gold is there, but I have not done a due diligence on ZKB recently. As a non-U.S. investor, I've been a holder of these certificates for a number of years. When looking for information, I found it hard to get anything of substance out of ZKB PR on the telephone line. Given what's happened to the Swiss, if I was the Swiss, I wouldn't discuss this on the phone either. So you sent me a long list of questions that you'd put to them. If I were them, I would only respond to some of them if you were in Europe and it was a verbal conversation. I just think they've provide enormous documentation on what the ETF is and how it works. And, and that should suffice. You either believe them or you don't. They replied they would only be willing to deal with my custodian bank and possibly not in writing. That makes total sense. If you look at the risk that they're dealing with, it doesn't make sense to take on all that risk just to answer one shareholder's questions. I was not pleased with their reply, as I originally put money behind Switzerland in the knowledge and confidence that they would always remain pro-privacy and independent of the U.S. I think it's very important to understand the kind of pressure that these folks are under. I went back and looked at the Swiss coming off their partial gold standard in 96 and finally reached the conclusion that was probably related to a series of sort of covert attacks on the Swiss, including earthquakes. So if you look at the weaponry and the power that the people who are pressuring them can bring to bear, I think you need to be a little bit more respectful of what they can and cannot do. So I think the Swiss were put in a very untenable position by the Americans, and there was much more violence behind the effort than you might think. Here's the reality. What we've got is we've got more and more sort of organized crime interests moving in and trying to control the gold inventory. So note the hostile takeover of Central Gold Trust. You're seeing a debasement of the quality of the governance and the sort of depository arrangements, and it's happening globally. Now, if you want total control of your gold, then move the gold into a depository that you're confident in, or put it in your own safe if you feel confident doing that. If you're going to use an ETF, I think ZKB is as good as it gets. But you have to decide whether or not they really have the gold or not. And I just don't think... I think you're looking for a financial institution who has a sufficient army to stand up to Mr. Global. And I'm not sure such a financial institution exists. So I think The other thing you asked is whether it's likely the Swiss would tax gold. It's inconceivable to me the Swiss would tax gold unless, of course, you got space laser guns pointed at them, and then they're going to do whatever Mr. Global says. But I think if they're going to do that, then so is everybody else. So the question is, at that point, are you going to put gold in your own safe, or dig it up and put it behind a tree? Dear Catherine, I was introduced to your site from Gordon White's Rune Soup and have just become a subscriber. I'm currently a university student studying politics, philosophy, and economics in the UK, although I'm from Singapore originally. I'm going to graduate in a few months and feel very uncertain about my future direction. I'm interested in starting a business in the future, but I don't think I have enough experience to do so, nor capital. So I want to look for a job now, maybe in the sales department of a technology-based company. I have no debt, but my grades vary a lot. I did well in some courses and not so well in others. Do you think it would be better for me to try to find a job in the UK or just go back to Singapore in terms of long-term prospects? I suspect you're going to see more growth out of Singapore, but UK and certainly London are going to be great spots long term as well. So here's what I would do if I were you. I would make a list of all the different skills and tools you need to start your own business, and then I would apply to jobs in both Singapore and London, and I would choose those jobs that would help me build those tools and skills. So literally think of yourself as on an acquisition binge to get all the things you need to proceed to start your own business. And I think the best resume is one that has the UK and both Singapore on it. I think that kind of global diversity will make you very powerful. And it's good if you're from Singapore that you went to school in Europe. So I think the more places on the map you have on the resume, the better. But remember, what you want to do with your first job is you want to go to work for people you really like and respect, who can learn a lot about. You want to be learning in the direction of where you want to go in the long run. And if I were you, I wouldn't care if that job is in the UK or Singapore. I'd just go get that. I'd try for both and take the first one you get that really fits that description. By the way, Rune Soup is a fascinating website, so I'm glad you mentioned it. I just finished Gordon White's new book, Chaos Magic, and I'm about to review it for the website. But as I said, likely that you're going to see more growth over time in Asia. And so it wouldn't surprise me if there were more opportunities in Singapore and Asia for you right now. And as I said, good to have both locations on your resume. Good morning, Catherine. Thank you again for your integrity, the courage to ask the hard questions and pursue the inconvenient truth. I listened again to your three 2010 reports yesterday on chemtrails, and your two reports with Clifford Carnicom. I'm seeking information to restore my health from the heavy spraying in my home. I had a strange experience, which brings me to my question to you about whether you've discovered any info re the multipurpose of cell towers and connections to the manipulation of EMF fields. I was in the portion of the June 2010 report with Clifford where you began discussing your concerns about the electromagnetic manipulation issues. The MP3 went down and it would not reconnect, nor would the other one with Clifford. I emailed Darlene to report it and went outside to connect with my horses for support integrating this information. I was later able to re-access the MP3s and finish the interviews. I took my break outside. They live in the sort of in the west. I heard a loud hum close to the ground, appearing to be coming from a distance of a few miles, 3 or 4 to the east and slightly south. It sounded sort of like a plane, but louder and different. I thought of the HARP technology at the time and just kept asking my inner knower, "What is this?" I felt some fear. My mirror stood at alert, looking and sensing as well. It seemed to move slightly north and then stopped, lasting about 3 minutes. This happened after 10:30 a.m. I went into town to run errands and decided to drive that direction to see what technical equipment might have caused this, and came upon a cell tower located about the correct distance away and at an easterly, slightly south location. There seemed to be the only possible equipment around the area that could emit this level of sound. So my question, let's see. So my question is one about possible surveillance of my computer, your website, and the timing of the noise possibly coming from the cell phone tower. I'm on an internet satellite connection, and I also had problems staying connected to the satellite as well. After this time yesterday on your website, The day before, I was talking to a friend about the health recommendations from Dr. Gwen Scott on her cell phones, and our connection was interrupted when we were both standing in our kitchens. I was just discussing diatomaceous earth as a solution at the moment. Yikes. Seems to be increasing intensity. Do you feel this? So I tend to be pretty attuned to the matrix control pattern, consider myself to be pretty free of mental manipulation. This sequence of events did bring more concern about the closeness of being watched and physical threat. Do you have any thoughts or ideas about this? I also watched the movies like you and John do. I recently released movie The Midnight Special presents some interesting ideas. It's playing in independent theaters right now. I'll check it out. I know you're very busy and would appreciate any time you could spare. Okay, so here's what you need to know. We are dealing with surveillance. There are two things going on. Possibly one of them could have been energetic, because when you talk about these things, you can trigger all sorts of spiritual forces, that change the energetics within the field around you. So that could be one possibility. But the other thing that's going on is you have to understand surveillance is very intimate. It's all done with relational databases and artificial intelligence and algorithms. So there's no human watching you. But if you look at certain information, if you talk about certain things, if you read certain things, then there's no doubt you inspire a response. So if I talk about I have a headache on the phone, I'll start getting emails within, 2 to 3 minutes, marketing aspirin. So irritating. But they have all sorts of ways of testing, for your physical needs or based on what you're talking about, and use it to harvest you. That's what the surveillance, watch the surveillance capitalism video and the article I posted on surveillance capitalism. And, it's all about harvesting you one way, financially and as a consumer. But I think there really is a tremendous effort to shut down conversation by hiccuping your systems when you're getting more intelligent. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think, to me, to a certain extent, it's kind of harmless. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to get in the way of your getting the information. What you want to do is get the information you need to be savvy about navigating your environment. Don't worry about any of that stuff. But, clearly get the information, but don't run around picking fights with anybody. So, I try and, I try and do all sorts of things to be non-offensive to the powers that be. But the reality is I get my systems hiccuped a lot for the same reason. I'm just not going to let it. I'm not going to be puppy trained by hiccuping telephones. Okay, Catherine, we watched Spotlight last night. Now, let me explain for those of you. Spotlight was in Let's Go to the Movies a couple of weeks ago. It is the story of the Boston reporters that broke the story about the pedophilia networks in the Catholic Church in the Boston area. And so that's the movie Spotlight. So we watched Spotlight last night. I don't understand the big picture here. They kept moving the priests around. Why? I understand they didn't really want to stop the problem, but what was the agenda? Surely not just the justification, the satisfaction of a few low-level priests. Were they grooming these boys for something? I'm sure there is a way, way more than we can even imagine. I'm just not understanding the purpose. Was it just to create a bunch of control files? This is a really great question. And I will give you, I'm going to answer with, as Joseph Farrell would say, high-octane speculation. If you look at the pedophilia networks that were operating back in the day that they're talking about them, and of course I think they're still operating today, but basically the pedophilia networks provided a whole variety of different functions. One was control files, as you mentioned. Another was just political favors, sex services for the loyal leadership, whether it's business leadership, political leadership. It's considered a great benefit of your status. And so that's all part of the control system. So it's not just a control file, but it's a reward. And then to a certain extent, they see pedophilia as a way of imprinting the young children, and it creates far more long-term loyalties. I assure you that the number of kids who were harmed by it and complain, there are many more kids that are walking around being functional today. And it's all part of creating loyalty within the within the clans and between the generations. I suspect a lot of the priests here were either sort of screen memories or handlers, although I'm sure there were some priestly shenanigans as well. But a screen memory is where, rather than remembering what really happened, you remember a false memory, or just, you take the abuse and you put it on one particular person who may have or may have not been involved. They could have just been a handler. Why do they keep moving them around? I think they kept moving them around for the same reason, that they kept moving around the bankers and not prosecuting the bankers. These are people who are being called on to run a system, or there's a system being run and you don't want them to out the system. They're doing, for the most part, what they're told. And so you just keep moving them around because if there's a problem in one place, you want to get them out of their place and get them someplace else. My personal experience with the system was that the real system was a combination of the Masons, the intelligence agencies, and the Vatican's. And as a result of a variety of things, the Vatican, it appears, is taking the full fall on these networks when in fact they were only one of the parties. And as I've said many times before, the Masons and intelligence agencies have created the telecoms, and they have created a far better control file mousetrap. It's not only total surveillance with lots of inexpensive control files, you add to it mind control and you've really got something powerful. So I think the Vatican scandals are in one sense a limited modified hangout, and the picture you saw in Spotlight is not the real picture. It was very clever to stick this all on the priests as the fall guys, but it leaves everyone oblivious to the mind control technology that was operating way back then, let alone what might be operating now, and the real pedophilia networks that continue to operate. So it makes it look like it was something long ago and far away. There's no mind control technology involved, and you don't bring it down to date. So it's very much a limited modified hangout, and my guess is that what's going on now is even more extensive than it ever was. If you want to get one picture that really starts to look into these things and tells a very honest picture, it's the Franklin cover-up by John DeCamp, and there were one or two documentaries made as a result of John DeCamp's book on the Franklin cover-up, which is a pedophilia network that came out of Omaha, Nebraska. I think it's a very important story only because so much of it has gotten outed. And if you look at the number of people killed to cover it up, which I believe included Bill Colby, the former CIA director who was assassinated in 1996, great controversy because a lot of people keep trying to refuse to say that that was an assassination, but it clearly was. So I don't think Spotlight tells the true story, although it certainly held out to be the true story. And I'm sure a lot of those journalists at the time believed that they had the true story. But when you get into the, sort of the memories of children that have been mind controlled, things get very squirrely very quickly. Okay, so let's talk about our interview. Blockbuster Chartology with Rambus. Absolutely sensational. I don't like doing technical analysis, but I love reading great technical analysis, and I really think Rambus is marvelous. So Rambus has looked at four sectors: currencies, commodities, precious metals, and equities. So we really start with the US dollar and some other currencies. And what Rambus brings us back to again and again is to shut out the noise and look at the deep long trends. The idea being you always want to trade in the long-term direction of the market. You never want to fight the market. But it's easy to get tricked by the ups and downs and the corrections, especially now because we've seen such a major drop in commodities and precious metals, and of course, many people in the markets hoping that a bottom is in, because if it is, then you have a real opportunity to rise with things that have been falling, and if the bottom's in, then there's opportunity. Whereas it's very difficult to put money in the stock market. It certainly looks like it's topping, and the dollar look like it's topping. And with the fundamentals, it's hard to believe that the US stock market has a lot more to up to go. So it's hard to find value. But looking at Rambus reminds us that the long trends are bull market in dollar, bull market in stock market. The bottom, a top has not been proved, or a bottom in commodities and precious metals has not been proved. And it really lets us sit back, look at the long run and say, well, it's really too early to tell if the trend has changed. And there's no way to know. I look at the earnings, the fundamentals on earnings in the stock market, and I think, how can it possibly go any higher? But look at the last 2 weeks, it has. He's got one great quote on the equity markets. I would like to finish off this four-part report by looking at some long-term charts for many of the U.S. and world stock markets. In regards to the U.S. stock market, the bull market that began in March of 2009 has to be one of the most despised, hated, and unforgiving bull markets of all time. To say it has climbed the proverbial wall of worry is an understatement. The bears have thrown everything they have at this bull market, including the kitchen sink, and still the bull market lives on. So I, for one, am sitting to wait to see if a bottom is in on precious metals and commodities. It's too early to tell. And to see what happens in the U.S. stock market with the terrible fundamentals upon us. But I agree with Rambus. The long-term trends are still intact. And it's too soon to tell if we are getting an inflection point and a change in direction. So be patient and enjoy these great charts. They're fantastic. Okay, so that's it in closing. April 28th, next week, we have Mind Control, Unpacking What Movies Tell Us with Jay Dyer. Great conversation with Jay Dyer about what the movies tell us. There's one great line where he and I were talking about the fact that it looks like you're trying to build robots that can be human and then try and turn humans into robot. It's part of creating an autistic society. And it's fascinating because so much of what we're dealing with is in the movies. Then the following week, The Devil's Chessboard with David Talbot. I have a book review up on the website on The Devil's Chessboard. Fabulous book. It is the best book on the Kennedy assassination I've ever read, and I cannot recommend it to you highly enough. If you really want to understand what has happened in America ever since, it really, that was a major moment and change in trend and direction for the United States. And then May 12th, John Rappaport joins me for Vax. We're going to talk about great stories of suppression. So until April 28th with Jay Dyer, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.